Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Pickle Me This, the officially unofficial podcast for Rick and Morty on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. I'm your host, Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today we're covering Season 5, Episode 9, Forgetting Sarek Mortchel. Here's Aaron with the recap.
Morty is moonlighting on some solo adventures where he attempts to clean up as many of Rick's messes as possible. When Rick catches him making unauthorized use of his portal gun, it provokes a breakup of the whole team. Will Morty take Rick back one more time? Or will they find themselves while adventuring with their rebound relationships? Find out next time on Rick and Two Crows. All right, Jim. Rick and Two Crows. What do you think?
I like this episode. I don't know if anybody's going to watch this episode without watching the next one, too, because if you're listening to this in the year 2516, these two episodes aired back to back same night. And you just kind of rolled into the next one. Right. And they're meant to do that. They feel like one kind of extended episode. So I don't know how to talk about this episode without also talking about the next. I like the next episode better than I like this one, but this one is also good.
I will say that, like, I do feel like this is not your classic part one, part two. This feels like two halves of a novel. Mm-hmm. You know, like the first half is the breakup.
Yeah.
And the second half is the resolution question mark. But it's like you don't have a resolution. Things kind of end in. Like you have a resolution in the same way that maybe Empire Strikes Back has a resolution, where there's definitely a climax and a denouement setting up for stuff for next season. But like, shit, you're in the middle of things.
Yeah.
Like, you just had the most crazy news dropped on you. But I don't know. I like this episode a lot, too. I thought this first episode is really confusing because I'm like, wow, I didn't think that of all the things that I thought would happen, like Rick gaining an insight into his relationship with Morty that allowed that made him think that, like, I can't keep doing this. Like, this is an abusive relationship. Even if you'll take me back, I don't want to be taken back.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty fucking crazy. And I'm like, I have no idea where they go from here, because how do you go back from that? You know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, with pairing it with the second one, you kind of understand this episode a lot more in retrospect. You understand why he might have had a change of heart here, and why, you know, this cycle needs to be broken, that sort of thing. But like, the episode is also really funny. I thought, like, that the way that they use the linked portals to me is hilarious. They just every time I think, okay, well, there are some potential here, but they're not really exploring it. Then they go into a scene like the breakout from the asylum scene, and I'm like, okay, that's exactly what I want a Rick and Morty episode to do with their concepts.
Yeah, I like, it's like Jackie Chan with portals. I thought that this is relentlessly inventive. Like, this kind of episode has it all. It's got the adventure pastiche to beginning of like all these different crazy worlds, cookie worlds, and, you know, Moana planets, and, you know, Morty cleaning up Rick's messes, all that stuff. It's got the garbage goober. It's got some quality sight gags. Like, if you pause and you look at all the things in Rick's replace a Morty wheel, they're all really, really funny. I'm sure we'll talk about it in that scene. Like, it just, the bird technology, like, this is a kind of a gonzo, random, funny episode, but it also has just a, you know, it's has a lot of things that impact continuity. And then, of course, set up for the next episode that is, you know, just crazy. I feel like this is, these are, like, if you have been kind of like waiting for Rick and Morty, you know, this season, this is what you've been looking for. It's I do increasingly feel like it's a damn shame that many fans are missing the entire series because they just want, you know, it's like they're like X-File fans that like, oh, if there's a Monster of the Week episode, fuck it. If the cigarette smoking man's not here, then it's worthless. If the well-manicured man, if Mulder's sister doesn't pop up, then why am I even wasting time with this garbage show? The proper way to watch it is like, you know, you're living for the Monster of the Week. So when you get the cigarette smoking man, it's like it's amazing. It's extra. It's kind of like, but, you know, it can't be that way every week because then it wouldn't be Rick and Morty. Like Rick and Morty is the Mr. Meeseeks crazy shit. It's the interdimensional cable shit. And if it just becomes canon and continuity and all that stuff, I think that it will lose a lot of that charm. And hey, not every episode was an interdimensional cable this season. I think there's an episode and a half, maybe two episodes that were, you know, mediocre to somewhat bad. But I think there's still five or six great, good to great episodes. And these two, I think, are all time classics. So,
yeah, right up there.
Yeah, I just I feel like there's a streak of that in the fan base. It's just they're just chasing the evil Morty high, man. All right, well, let's maybe talk about discussion of the episode.
Yeah.
I talked about, I just want to, you know, why we're thinking about it. The replace a Morty wheel. This isn't the first, I mean, first of all, I want to talk about, I guess, its symbolic meaning or, you know, what it meaning is in the episode, because this isn't the first time we've seen Rick build some kind of big monument to his apathy for a particular thing.
Yeah, like, the Vindicators episode.
Exactly. Like where he built a whole fucking amusement ride just to abuse and humiliate Morty and convince him of how irreplaceable he is. But I feel like this, like, you know, this feels like a George Martin reveal, you know, where it's like you actually, if you haven't gotten it this time, they're actually going to have a third party come out and explain the significance that, like, you know, and the mechanism where that keeps the abuser and the victim kind of like enmeshed. Like, I thought I don't know what the guy's name is, the portal leg guy, portal thigh guy.
Yeah, I don't know if he has a name.
Interesting. He's the portal thigh guy.
He's one of the portal boys, yeah.
Portal boy, he's the beta portal boy. I thought that, they used him to explain the kind of like, you know, well, if he cares this much to hurt me this bad, .. Like,
yeah.
It implies that there must be a depth of caring or stuff. And there's like, must be, he's so complicated and wounded. And that's what all the shit that you can talk yourself into believing. I thought that was great. And this is a particularly funny manifestation. The fact that he's got this wheel where it had stuff like half a Paul Giamatti.
I want to know which half there. I can't say too much about it because it spoils the next episode, but is there a chance that we could have seen a 14-year-old Paul Giamatti?
Oh my God, if they split Paul in half.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That'd be interesting.
He's about 40.
Like the one episode where Rick separates everyone from their goo components, like their bad evil goo person. Like, I want to see goo Giamatti. Oh my God.
He's more than half goo, for sure.
I think most of these are pretty self-explanatory. The Jerry, which is the only one that's just like, nah, that can't spin again.
Yep.
Kyle 2.0 is a callback to the first episode of the season where Mr. Nimbus, the ocean god, alludes to a pre-Morty companion
named Kyle.
The Rick had.
Yeah.
Kyle. So Kyle 2.0, that's interesting. That means we're probably going to see Kyle eventually. And then the other one is Gene with donkey brains. I believe this is a reference to their neighbor who you've seen Morty, you know, yell to mind your own goddamn business, Gene, from time to time when he pops his head over the fence to see what crazy shit's happening at the Smith residence.
Okay. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Gene with donkey brains is better than Morty.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned for more Rick and Morty.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend
for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
What did you think of the rebound relationship that Morty has with the Portal Boy?
What did I think of it? I don't know. I mean, it feels like a pretty standard rebound relationship, right? He was sort of taken in both by himself and the other Portal Boy. I don't know. I wasn't thinking about it.
Kind of reminds me of like a time where when you might be feel like a fuck up, you feel like an outcast or whatever, and you meet somebody in a situation and you kind of bond over the fact that maybe you're both fuck ups and outcasts, and then you find out that they're the type of fuck up and outcast that might set a diner on fire or flip out a police car or flip over a police car, and you're a fuck up that might like not have your parents sign your D-minus report card. And it's like, oh, this is suddenly a scary, you know, like I see how you got from where I'm at, but oh my God, you're so much further than me. I thought that they played that dynamic out.
Jason Segel, you know, so forgetting Sarah Marshall is obviously the take they're going for in this episode. Do you think that they pick a movie that they want to ape or want to loosely follow and then write the script? Or do they write the script and go, what movie does this most closely mirror? Because I feel like this is very much Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Is it something where like they do that before they write, or they write after they name it after they write?
I hope they do it after, because I would too. Yeah. Like if they're just like, you know, have like a lotto ball of ping pong balls with like names of shitty rom-coms and stuff on it. Like, all right, this is going to be, you know, the Cannonball Run episode. Put on your thinking caps. What's it feel like? Does it feel like interdimensional cables? Does it feel like a Cannon Citadel episode? There's no fucking way.
Yeah, that would be a little too formulaic for me.
It is, because, you know, that's a famous rebound relationship that I guess the movie wants you to think it works out after some hiccups. I think it's interesting because a lot of times we navel gaze about this show and we think, oh, my God, how can you keep this fundamental relationship, or what more can they have to say about it? And what's interesting is like Rick and Morty tend to, and they even lampshade in this episode, like this is a commentary on a romantic breakup, right?
Yeah.
They even talk about it. It's like, oh, adventuring is, you know, is a stand in for having sex or whatnot. But then as I was thinking this, I was like typing up stuff in my notes to talk about. And I'm like, wait a second. Why do we think that this is commentary more on a romantic relationship? Because I feel like we would have this relationship. We'd have this reaction with friendships more often if we like, you know, if all of our best friends, if you achieve best friend status, someone, if you stood up in a room full of everyone that you know and love and promise you'll always be best friends with this person. Right. Like it's more of like the breaking of vows that you take more than just the having sex and all this, although that obviously strengthens and deepens stuff too. But like, yeah. And I've thought about the, like, you know, if you had breakups as kids, they felt, you know, before you started having romantic relationships, like if you're best friends with someone in seventh grade and they moved to another state, like you have some real like anger and sadness to deal with. So it's like, it's funny because this all felt like dating, but like, it doesn't have to be. It's just any relationship where there's been a breach. Right. Yeah. But it's like, I thought they said some really fucking smart shit about, you know, what it feels like to be breakups and the bad ideas of rebounds and all that stuff.
Yeah. And they definitely, take it to the next level in the next episode. You know, you ask how like they can continue down this path of evolving this relationship and raising the stakes and everything when they could just be sort of spinning around in circles here. I think the next episode will make that very clear, because there's a certain timeless quality, let's say, or infinite quality to this relationship that I think it really presses the point. You know, like even in our finite relationships that we have, like seeing an infinite example of it shows you just like how messed up and how destructive the loops that they're in can be. And I think like what they do with that the next episode is very, very good.
Yeah, and they also have this like showing that they in the middle of this episode, like Morty calls Rick frantic because, you know, his rebound portal boy relationship has let, you know, got him all fucked up and left a trail of bodies, and he wants to go back to Rick. Simultaneously, you know, Rick, his crow thing has gone tits up and he wants to get back with Morty, but mm-hmm. It's not because their relationship makes sense. And you know, no. As you said, the part two makes a, you know, puts an underline on this, but it's mm-hmm. because, you know, they're in pain from this other relationship and they just want to go back to something familiar, you sure. know?
Also,
that was really the
way that they parallel this other portal boy and Rick, in that like both of them are doing very similar things throughout this episode. If you look at Portal Boy, he's off like destroying things, having this crazy adventure with Morty, just like Rick would before. But also when you cut back over to Rick, everybody's dropping bodies, right? Like everybody is out there doing essentially the same thing. It just stresses how much of a you know, destructive like rebound cycle that Morty's in here, where he's gone to seek out something healthier and found the exact same thing.
It's funny because there's been a couple times like this this season also, man, it feels like a million years ago, but this opened up with like Jessica ascending to be a Time Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Morty has come close to healthy relationships, sometimes as a result of, you know, Rick's time and space fuckery, sometimes just because, you know, turns out Morty's probably worthy of love and respect as much as anybody. But like, it just keeps on getting yanked away. Like, you can see, like, nothing shows the contrast of this season Morty and last season more than the way he ultimately dispatches the Portal Boy. Where he uses the train to chop off his own arm and then drops his hand portal into his thigh portals, sucking. It reminded me, I've talked about this like very rarely over the years, but there's a Ray Bradbury short story where someone defeats a demon by drawing a summoning circle on the demon's belly, causing it to recursively summon inside itself until it winks out of existence. And it reminded me of that kind of like next level thinking way, like that. Like you look at Morty. I don't know what the hell is going on. You look at Morty dispatching the Planeteers or whatever the fuck they are. You look at him dispatching Portal Boy here. Like, this is the end result of all of the rampages, all of the dehumanification, just like his sheer survival instinct. Like the strength that he's gotten from Rick's fucked up abuse. he can do this crazy shit now. And it's kind of, It's awesome, but it's also repulsive. You know, it reminds me of watching like Arya in Game of Thrones. Like, it's like, oh, so fucking cool. You got this murder child. But also, when you think about it, why am I cheering for this? What the fuck? This is just child abuse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's 90% of the show is grandpa abusing his young grandson.
Yeah, literally. I really like, there's a sequence where the crows, like, this happens in a lot of movies where it's like, you know, if someone's learning kung fu or someone's learning some kind of esoteric technique, it's always like, we got to let go. You got to do less. You got to bend the spoon, but there is no spoon. Like, this gobbledygook bullshit that like sounds impressive and interesting until you break it down. Mm-hmm. And the crows, like, you got to be your crows and train yourself. We train ourselves to stop training. We are the untrained, which means our training is complete because no training was needed. It's like just this perfect, you know, Mobius strip of fucking Zen bullshit that wraps around itself. I loved it. I loved it so much.
It does make a sort of weird sense in training Rick to have a little bit of empathy and using that empathy to control the crows. But yes, I agree with you. It's that nonsense sounding stuff that, you know, if you don't think about it too much, it makes sense. But
especially since, like, I'm not sure exactly how he goes from also we're going to shove this crow shit down, you know, Morty's throat to you know, actually I guess I'm too fucked. I guess it does track, because what moves him, or what makes him realize or see how fucked up him and Morty's relationship is the crow's kind of like self-sacrifice Because they were smart enough not to keep playing and perpetuating into the game that Rick is playing with Morty.
Yeah.
And that like turn on the light for him. So I guess that all tracks. I also like the Crowvolution, which turned out to just be turning crows against dozens of humans within a 300 meter radius. I thought it was going to be another one of those things like, oh, fuck, the Cronenberg to place. They
right.
Hitchcock birded the place and now there's nowhere to go but out.
Yeah. The other thing that I guess we didn't talk about early on is this this cookie universe. I wanted to go back to that. There's a poster on the wall that looks very much like Simple Rick's Wafers. Is this supposed to be like the genesis of that somehow? That's that like a Rick has come here. They've, you know, fucked up this planet, taken the wafer recipe or something, and then co-opted it into the Citadel.
Or instead of like actually baking your cookies, they just are rounding up the cookie citizenry and injecting them with the Simple Rick compound.
Like, maybe.
Yeah. There's a lot of horrifying implications of that, isn't there?
I think so. Yeah. And just the concept of like, why is Morty going around cleaning up all of Rick's messes? Because I know he's like more empathetic than Rick, obviously. He probably feels for these people, but yeah, I don't know. I've not seen him do that in the past. So this was kind of out of nowhere.
I'm glad you brought that up because like I thought a lot about that too, because there's a, you know, you could ask the question of like, why doesn't Rick have more enemies? I know he has a lot of enemies, but why doesn't he have more of them? Because he's just constantly going around fucking over entire planets. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of an interesting thing that like maybe it's the fact that Morty, who's a more decent human being, is going around overtime trying to undo some of the damage. And especially impressive when you see how easy it is. Like Rick leaves these worlds in flames, not because it's some kind of utilitarian ends. It's like they develop this theme next episode. He just doesn't care. Mm-hmm. He can't be bothered to go forth any more effort because, again, why does it matter when there's an infinite version of this planet that's even more fucked than I've got it fucked? And there's an infinite version of this planet that is doing just fine. But it also is a commentary, I think, on like codependent, like relationships with people with personality disorders and addiction things. The fact that like you love this person and you don't want to deal with the fact that they're a shit. So like, you know, they get too drunk and they miss a party. Oh, well, you know, they were sick and they're just feeling bad. Oh yeah, I'm sure I'll tell them that you cover for them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You cover for them at work, you cover for them at family and friends because you're embarrassed and you also know that they're not like this and you want them to be. So I thought that like all this stuff is really, yeah, as Rick and Morty have been want to do, is really smart in context of like the overall kind of psychological shit that they're talking about.
Yeah, no, that's cool. The other thing early on in this episode is with the portal gun juice. Did Morty learn nothing from the horse semen episode? He's here mixing in Mountain Dew with the portal fluid, and I can't help but think that that goes very badly.
At least he didn't spooge in it. I did like the little inset where it's like weird fluid detected, and it's like, which is expected because what right. is portal fluid, but weird. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, the problem is Morty's terrified of Rick and craves his approval so he can never be honest. Like this, goddamn, like the interlocking messages of this show, it's interesting because a lot, this like really shook people up. I was looking on some of the subreddit stuff and people talking about this, like, you know, this hits like kind of millennial Gen X Zoomer angst about depression and relationships and wasting their life and trying to appear more successful than they are and being fucked over by social, like this, a lot, these two episodes really kind of underline and intersect these issues in a way that I feel like makes a lot of people uncomfortable. You know, like we'll get to it next episode, but the whole Mr. Poopy Butthole stinger is aimed as a dagger aimed at the dark heart of our civilization.
It's certainly not comedy. It's certainly not comedy.
Yeah, it's funny. There's something funny about it.
It's only funny because of the voice. But yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That you're having this depth of emotion for this guy named Mr. Poopy Butthole. You know, the last thing I want to talk about is The rant that Rick does right before the stinger, where he's doing the Rick and Two Crows, 100 season, 14 episodes a season, 9 seconds a pop, sneakies, TV sitcoms on sneakers. Like, this is like every rant that Harmon had in the last year of his podcast, where he just like, I don't understand what they're doing. Like, you know, it's like if they had a Netflix Wonder Woman series, she wouldn't even fucking become Wonder Woman until the finale episode. And or on the other end, like, you know, his fiance wrote for Quibi, which was like 7 minute episodes. And like everyone's like, oh, yeah, people are just they want to watch a television show while they're standing in line at the supermarket. Like all these weird fucking edge cases and how fucking sick and tired he is about all this. Like, I thought that was it does my heart good every time I hear a Harmontown rant break out in the middle of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my podcast relationship that I broke up with in the last 2 years, and I'm still carrying a torch for.
Right. I don't think you have to be listening to Harmontown to understand how stupid of an idea Quibi was, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. And just like that's the thing, like, I, you know, now you got the fridges, smart TV on fridges. I'm wondering, because like the thing that's annoying me, the piss out of me right now, is the ads that happen at the gas stations.
Oh,
like, you know, it's like I swipe my credit card and then at volume, some motherfucker is going to get clever enough to do like a 30 to 60 second serialized drama or comedy. Like, you know, in the same way that Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers used to be these, like, you know what? People don't come to the movies often enough. So if we break apart a little thing and put it at the beginning of everything, and then they'll have to come back and have to see, because they don't want to see. Like, it's a way it would be a great way to get people to watch the ads or pay attention to them. And who's going to do it? Someone's going to.
I don't know. I think it's
like the Bud Bowl or shit like that, like that kind of continuity or lowest common denominator. But
that's about as forward looking as putting fucking screens into horse saddles, like EVs. Yeah, I don't know. You're not going to have gas stations here in a bit. You're going to plug in your EV for 25 minutes, go into a restaurant, sit down and have a drink.
You're right. That's just a standard sitcom episode. They don't need the tutorial. While you're recharging your car, you just mandatory have to watch an episode of Community. Or
who's going to sit there for 25? No.
Yeah. Well, that's when you want art. That's when you want art, is when you want to laugh, cry, be horny, whatever.
No, that's when I want a burger. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the stinger. What do you think of Garbage Goober?
I like Garbage Goober. All he wants to do is eat trash. Get off his back. You know, maybe he is a doctor. Maybe he did spend $120,000 to get his medical degree. But the man wants to eat trash. Let him eat trash.
This is another one where, like, it's another microcosm of a relationship that is not willing to be honest with what each other wants. Because you're right. Like, this guy did go to Harvard Medical School, probably graduated top of class, talented doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to eat garbage while he's being humiliated by the Smith family.
Yeah.
And if his wife's not going to understand that, then both of them are going to be locked in a relationship of unhappiness for the rest of their life.
It's true. Yeah.
But that whole, like, where he promises to do better and then he hears Summer saying, oh, the trash is extra stinky. And he's kind of like, his body is just like involuntarily pulled through the door. Yeah, it's fucked up. It's like he's like the gimp, you know?
Sure. The other question I have about this episode, and I don't think it's true because I couldn't find information about it anywhere, but the head crow sounds a lot like Willem Dafoe. I feel like it's somebody doing their best Dafoe, or their best DeCrow, if you will. But I don't think it's actually him.
Oh, I mean, because I thought that I kept on recognizing the guy, the portal boy. Like, God, yes. I know it's on, but I looked it up and it's just one of their, you know, like Phil Lamar types. It's like one of their, you know, standard cast of voice actors. So as far as I could tell.
Okay, well.
The closest we got to a celebrity voice cameo in these two episodes was Rob Schraub's Crow Scare. He's not even, the only reason I know his name is because I'm a big fan of Harmontown.
Yeah.
And Harmon in general. So, I wondered that it'd be interesting because, you know, Lighthouse and Rick and Morty.
oh boy,
have a surprising amount of things in common this season, you know?
You might have people to sell hate
each other, but are bound to each other.
Okay. All right.
You know, the
mermaid puss.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Got to get into mermaid cruise, but something about like the sublime joys of being known versus the horrifying ordeal, or the sublime joys of being loved versus the horrifying ordeal of being known, kind of push and pull of that a little bit, but that's it for this episode. We are not going to do feedback this episode because, well, we're just they're a package deal. We're recording two episodes and releasing them the same day, and there's just not enough feedback to go for two episodes. We're going to save it all to the end of the next episode. RickandMorty@baldmove.com is the email address on that. We're going to consider that on the very next episode, which should be in the feed right now as you're listening to it. So we'll hit the next podcast and you'll get there. And we will see you on the other side of that, because again, the heavy lifting's all done in the next episode. This was just the elaborate bump set for the next episode spike. We'll see you there. Until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jim.
See ya.
Pickle Me This is distributed and produced by Bald Move. All music featured on this podcast is from the Rick and Morty soundtrack, available from Sub Pop Records. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To discover the many other great shows we do, please check out baldmove.com.
If you appreciate what we do and want to directly support us, consider joining our club at patreon.com/baldmove to get access to exclusive bonus audio and video features. Finally, you can follow us on your favorite social media @baldmove. See you next time.